This week's episode of the FitGas is brought to you by BlackStarLabs.com, one of the best-tasting protein powder out there. Check out the new cinnamon bun flavor. It is ridiculous. And also, we are featuring music by Jail titled Everyone's Hip. You can check them out at SubPop.com. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the FitGas. This is episode number 186. I'm Kevin Larrabee, and along with me is Lee Peel of LeePeel.com. Lee, how you doing?
Doing good.
That was a quick open.
Yeah, it was powerful too with your, your volume level went. What up, FitCast? It was.
Lee, I have lots of energy today.
I'm pumped. Yeah, no, it's rubbing off on me.
I'm ready to go. So
let's do it.
No John Fast this week. Obviously, he is. He quit the show after the argument we got in last week, so he will no longer be on the show.
Don't listen to him. He did not quit.
He would. He's a quitter.
He is not. Yes, yes. Obviously, John, given his situation right now, is such a quitter. In fact, I'm amazed that he even still talks to us.
Yeah, I know, right? No, let's be real. He actually got a spot on the Real World New Orleans, so you can actually watch him on the show this upcoming Tuesday or whenever it's on.
No, he really is going to quit because you just said that.
Yeah, I know. Or the Jersey Shore show or whatever it is.
Season two coming back, yo.
Yeah, but they're going to – okay, this is off topic. All right, so anyways, we get a great show lined up for you this week. A couple cool things to quickly bring up. I've been on a guest I've been kind of hoarding guest spots, so I've been emailing tons of people trying to get a bunch of interviews for you guys, like, lined up, like, back-to-back, like, tons of stuff. I talked to Scott Abel. Scott Abel's going to be coming back on soon. Jim Smitty-Smith, who we haven't had on in a long time from Diesel Crew. Actually, I don't even think we had him on the main podcast before, but Smitty's a wicked cool dude who I haven't talked to in a long time, and I think you guys would really dig the stuff that they got going on at Diesel Crew. Always interesting, always cool. And also, Eric Cressy, going to be coming back on soon, probably towards the end of the month of August. Because he's really busy right now. Obviously, you got lots of baseball guys for the high school kids. It's the off season for the most part, so I'm really busy there. And I email tons and tons of Tom Venuto. Sure, it's always great to talk to Tom.
Tom.
Yeah.
Little angels sing when I say Tom Venuto's name.
It's a great last name.
I know, isn't it?
Damn, it's great. I mean, is that is that Italian?
He's Jersey, babe.
Oh, okay. Well, and also, you know what? Sooner rather than later, I want to get Brett Contreras back on because that was a blast talking to him. He's a nerd in all the best ways possible. Lee, did you get to know see the stuff where he hooked up diodes to his muscles, like, almost naked in his own, at his facility at like 12 o'clock at night, making his butt flex?
It's on my nightly rounds.
All right. Yeah. I know, as long as you're on top of that. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. So, a couple cool things that we have. Listener feedback was a much better success this week. We got about 5 voicemails, I think, and we got a couple emails. So, those are going to be running later in the podcast. Also, you know what? I like to give stuff away. So we're going to give away another $175 TRX gift certificate. Does that sound pretty good? Someone clapped.
Yeah.
So we're going to be giving another one of those away. And this is how we're going to do it. Very similar to the last time. All right. So we got a couple different places. We got iTunes and the Zune Marketplace where you can place reviews. And I'm going to give you guys from now, which is July 18th to July 31st. So you have about, now what's that, like 2 weeks almost? So you get almost 2 weeks to throw up a review at those places, post on Facebook mentioning the FitCast, saying, hey, check out the FitCast. It's a great podcast where you can, you know, I mean, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but, you know, it's a podcast about fitness and nutrition. You know, it's great. I listen to it because so and so and so. Same thing for Twitter, as in the Facebook. And to make sure I can see that stuff, because I'm like all over Facebook and Twitter, and I look at that stuff a lot. So to make sure I can see it, please do 2 things. One, make sure you friend me on Facebook. And also Lee Peel, while you're at it. I mean, why haven't you already? And same thing on Twitter. So for Twitter, I am just like twitter.com/KevinLarrabee, and Lee is...
Yeah, I'm Lee Peel on Facebook.
Yeah, just no spaces, all right? No spaces. So do that up. Mention the FitCast. You know, we're going to be giving away... Like, this is a big deal. It's like you're going to be able to get like that big-ass TRX package. Like, that's no joke.
No, no joke at all.
So do that up. And for listener feedback for this week, we're going to be deciding that at the end of the podcast. One of the things that I want to kind of do is definitely trying to see, you know, how the podcast shapes up for the episode. And then at the end of the episode, think about, you know, what was the big discussion, and then get your guys' feedback from it. And, you know, throughout the week, please, if you have, voicemail questions, you can send them into that number as well. It's 775-45-FITCAST or 978-633-3488. Leave a voicemail. And, like, you know, some people have already done before. Like, they tried one voicemail. It didn't work out. They re-recorded another one. I picked the one that was re-recorded. All right? So if it takes you a couple tries to get it right, that's not a problem. So it's no pressure. Just send us in our voicemails. I'm telling you guys, those are going to get priorities over all the other emails, because I like to hear people's voices. I don't, you know, I don't like reading. I stumble over it a lot. And obviously you all know that. So that's that. And two other quick personal things. One thing I've been mentioning on Facebook and Twitter is I've kind of blown out what I've been doing with my online personal training by giving my clients this awesome software that gives them access to all the videos that I've ever done. It allows me to track all their meals for the day, give them like instant feedback on stuff really quickly. Like the people who have been checking it out, especially Mike and Jen, who I've got set up on it right now. I guess I give some people some previews. We're also going to get, Michelle Cohen, who's a big fan of the show. She's going to be getting access to it this week. It just puts, you know, accountability through the roof. And the guys that have been on it have been just doing fantastic so far, really digging the software. So, it's one more reason to check it out if you need someone to kind of stay on top of you and make sure you're doing what you should be doing. It's definitely something that is worth looking into, and my clients have been getting great results. Got some new testimonials from Andrew that you'll see up on KevinLarrabee.com later this week, and also the wedding pictures are going to be revealed from Kim, who's been doing her, she did her big push towards the wedding to lose weight, and she looked fantastic for her wedding. Looked unbelievable. Currently, she's on her honeymoon, so when she gets back, she's going to be doing a write-up, tossing us some pictures, like legit before and after pictures. Like, she did phenomenal. And this is while, you know, still fitting in those, those wedding shower mornings where she got to have some French toast. She get to still go to the Red Sox, have a couple, you know, toss a couple back and have like a Fenway Frank as they're famous for. I think they're just hot dogs though. And, some other great stuff. So, all that, you know, all that info is at KevinLarrabee.com. If you're interested, just send me an email if you have any questions, kevin@thefitcast.com. I'm really enjoying this. Like, we're having a ton of fun getting people some great results. So really having a blast with this. And last but not least, another thing about me personally, the FitCast Insider is going to be on sale for $59. All right, we're going to do it for 2 weeks. Tons of great stuff on there from Alan Cosgrove, Mike Boyle, just talking with John Berardi, talking all about G-Flux. If you ever had a question about G-Flux, like, he goes in-depth on that stuff. Great stuff with Tony Gentilcore, Jim Smitty-Smith that we, you know, talked about a couple minutes ago. We talked all about grip training, you know, how important that is when it comes to people doing, you know, farmer's walks, pull-ups, any kind of rows. Like, it becomes a big deal, especially, you know, the guys out there, you know, you want to have those big forearms. Like, I guess that's a thing now. So if you're really interested in that, it's all there. You get a ton of interviews. You get the Dan John squat video that will basically guarantee that you do your Olympic lifts and squatting perfectly for the rest of your life. Like, that alone has been really big. So you get to download that. Keep it on your hard drive, because I don't know when Google Video is going to delete those videos, because that's like an hour-long video, and I'm sure they're not very happy paying the bandwidth for that. So check it out, theficcastinsider.com. It's $59 right now. And, you know, it's tons of great stuff. You know, I've never had a return on that product. No one has ever asked for their money back on that product. So, I mean, that's one thing I can definitely say for it. People have really enjoyed it. So check it out. You know, you might want a little something extra to listen to if you've caught up on all the past episodes. So check that out. So I'm going to shut up and I'm going to say, what up, Lee? Lee, what's up? What's going on?
Let's see, what is up.
Tons of blog posts, Lee. I've been loving the blog posts. What's up with that?
Yeah, I've been trying to keep it on a pretty good rhythm. I just did a bunch of stuff about intuitive eating, and a different take on what is usually discussed with intuitive eating, and the research with that. And I have a few more things probably coming up in that realm, because whenever I post up something, there's always people questioning or asking things, and then it's like, oh my god, it would just be easier for me to just write another article. So it usually like will come in like a section until I feel like a topic has been covered. So there might be some more stuff coming up about that with the intuitive eating. And there's a lot of in the background stuff going on at leafpull.com right now, just kind of a changing of the whole cookbook system and changing of like how the site navigates and works and stuff in general. Like all the cookbooks are going to be offered individually, and so you can get them like, you know, one at a time, and it'll be at a discount price for members, just stuff like that. So there's a lot of like behind the scenes stuff that's going down right now that over the next couple of weeks will be blossoming. And actually, I'm going to be looking into that software that Kevin was talking about.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And because I'm getting ready to open back up and take on consults or programming again, because I was full, but now I can kind of level back out now and got some chill time, and so I can open it back up, because I don't do consecutive clients at this current time. I've only done programming, but if the software kind of does what you say it does, then it might be possible for me to do on going clients again, because it could open up some time, because it's always been so time consuming. So yeah, maybe that'll be something as well if that ends up playing out. So yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on. But as far as articles and stuff coming up, there's mostly going to be there's like a couple of fun ones, and then maybe a more expansion on the intuitive eating and caloric intake and monitoring and stuff like that, both in a psychological and the physiological sense. So yeah, that's what's up, Kevin.
Very cool.
Back to you.
Well, I mean,
back to you, Kevin.
I'm in the chopper right now. I'm just kidding. So the news chopper. So I think one of the really interesting blog posts that you had was kind of, I mean, I don't know if it caused controversy or not, but you know, definitely talking about, you know, not having to necessarily, you know, weigh all your food, you know, count all those calories to lose weight. So,
which coming from me, people are like, oh, shocker.
Well, that's why I was almost
because a lot of people assume I hate counting calories. I hate measuring food and doing all that. It's just, there's a lot of times in which it becomes a necessity. And it helps people from, because what happens a lot of time in dieting, Dan, I won't go into it too long, but it is helpful, and so it's not completely off topic. But a lot of times what happens is slowly as people are dieting down, their natural defense mechanism is to find ways of implementing more food or decreasing energy. So they'll rest more and they'll decrease their need and they'll decrease their energy and input, or they'll slowly nibble here, little bites there, little things here. It'll increase their input. And you know, slowly decreasing your energy output and then slowly increasing your energy input can end up, you know, erasing 250, 300 calories a day. Nothing for, you know, a 225 pound, you know, bodybuilder who has a very active job, but it can be a lot for, you know, a 5'5", 135 pound girl that works in an office trying to get into that last realm of fat loss, which is, let's be perfectly honest, a lot of our target audience, you know, and a lot of like who I end up working with. I end up working with the frustrated. I end up working with the people that are hitting stalls and hitting, you know, the walls. And so when it comes to things like that, paying attention to those minute details can help you progress upon your way, but it doesn't always have to be through counting, and there are intuitive ways to go about it. It's what I say going against your intuition, though, that you more have to do more so than go with your intuition, because it's not about eating when you're hungry. It's kind of about not eating when you're hungry. So, yeah, but that actually, there's a lot of people that wrote to me that were really surprised that I even had that stance, because they're so used to me talking about, well, have you Have you measured this? Have you tracked that? And you certainly don't have to do that in order to achieve your fat loss. It is not a necessary thing, but it does end up being a necessity sometimes in most situations, at least in the beginning, to get an idea of where you're at. But it was definitely well received. It was definitely a liked article series. Yeah, so.
And just kind of, you know, falling off that, something that people should also check out is the official video game thread on the Ask Lee forums. It's blown up. You get to see official images of my arcade machine running multiple video games. And Lee got to see a video of my machine.
He did, and it was sexy.
It's a real deal, isn't it? Mike Robertson is like, Kevin, make a list of what I need to buy, and I'm going to order it right now.
No, it was really cool. In fact, it got me... I ended up hooking up my computer to use some...
It's okay. What's up. Okay. Okay, guys, we're going to take a very short break, and then we're going to talk a little bit about some questions in the mailbag. That made no sense, but we're going to be right back anyways.
Mailbag.
All right, we're back with a mailbag, and this is something I always think about things that I want to put into the show or ask people about, and I always forget. One, okay, if we have musicians out there, and Ali, I know you're one of them. Mm-hmm. If we have musicians out there,
a hard word.
I know it's a big word. And if you guys want to put together some. Like official FitCast music, like music for the opening, music for the mailbag, like something maybe with a little bit of, you know, upbeat, something with like maybe even, you know, you saying mailbag, something that's mailbag themed, possibly music for the off topic and some closing music. Like I'd totally be up for you know, seeing if people have some stuff we can use out there. I love going to subpop.com. They obviously have some really cool music up there, and that's what I'll be using until then, just because I like to mix it up. You know, everyone's using those GarageBand like audio loops, and it's just like, ugh. Like, I'm seeing it in TV ads. Like, when I'm starting to see it in, like, a Gillette TV ad, I'm like, I gotta stop using this stuff. So, if you guys want to make some music, we'll give the show a little bit more of an identity. I'm totally up for that. Email me at kevin@thefitcast.com. Send me your ideas or, you know, throw something together and send me an MP3 or something like that. I know we have some talented people out there in the crowd. So let's see. And I'll hook you up with something. I'll hook you up. I'll figure something out. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. So let's go to the mailbag. And the first question that we have goes to Lee. And Lee, this is like a question that we've definitely gotten before, but it's something that's still coming up. And that's a question from Lauren. She says, "Hi, all. I'm a 27-year-old, 5'5 female, and began competing in fitness and figure a year ago. I had weighed 130 for 10 years before competing and had been lifting weights all 10 years. But I gained a lot of muscle in the past year, and now my, quote, off-season weight is 137. My pants don't fit me anymore, and I would like to lose muscle from my legs, specifically from the quads and glutes, while maintaining shape elsewhere. I've heard three theories about how to go about losing muscle for the quads and the glutes. One, do high rep, quote, muscle-wasting reps with little to no resistance. Two, stop working out legs altogether. And three, stop lifting weights and just do cardio. I realize spot reduction of muscle in one area is difficult, if not impossible, but I would like to at least try and was wondering what the best guess as to the what the best technique would be." And again, that's from Lauren.
Okay. Well, I have to say that my first instinct, you know, I obviously get a lot of questions about losing muscle. And I probably get them more than most because of the articles that I've written about it. And I have worked with specifically models because it does become an issue for models about going through a muscle loss phase. So it is something that I've done and it's something that I do. I'm always hesitant to talk about it and to go into it, though, because it's usually not needed. It's very rare that I find that it's needed because for the most part, what people think they've, you know, gained muscle, they've really just gained fat. And because they're more muscular and because they have a more muscular definition, they think that it's muscle. And I'll go into that a little bit. Since the answer for this question is kind of short, I'll elaborate just a little bit on the background. But, you know, when in the question, she says, I gained a lot of muscle in the past year, and now her off-season weight is 137. In order to go from 130 to 137, it's, you know, to make a claim that, you know, you've gained, you know, roughly like 7 pounds of muscle or somewhere into that realm. And that's a lot of muscle for a woman to gain, especially if she's been competing in figure and fitness for a while or trying to do this for a little time. So I don't know. I don't, you know, my alarm goes off for how much of that is muscle and how much of it is maybe, you know, a little bit of fat, a little bit of water. And, you know, particularly, you know, like the, you know, glycogen pump look, because, when you look at trying to gain muscle, you don't just gain muscle, you gain water with that muscle and you store extra glycogen when you're training, and it becomes like this kind of like varying factor. So the first thing that any woman in this situation needs to do is to be really honest and look at themselves and say, okay, well, how much is fat and how much is muscle? 5'5" and 137 on a female. Well, you know, I'm sure I'll get like a lot of arguments about this. It's not overly lean. A lot of competitors and female and fitness competitors that I've worked with in the 5'5" range can get down into their, you know, the teen ranges. So, it's not like overly lean. There's probably definitely some fat there. And when you have fat on top of muscle as a female, it definitely can make the appearance of more bulky, specifically in the arms and in the thighs. It just kind of makes things for some look worse. So make sure that you're leaned out enough to actually understand if you need to lose muscle in the first place, or if you even want to lose muscle in the first place. And usually during the course of trying to lean out the fat, there's always a chance that we do lose a little bit of muscle during that time. And so chances are it usually takes care of itself on its own in that phase, without any special or focus in any sort of way in that area. If you do find that you do need to lose muscle still, I do want to input that you need to make sure to look at your priorities and make sure to look at, you're not just trying to achieve something that isn't really possible for you to achieve, or that you're not nitpicking at your body and that there's no dysmorphic issues. I think that that's important to focus on. So if there really is a need specifically for any sort of like modeling gigs or things like that, then one of the best ways to lose muscle is just to not train and to also watch protein intake, or really not even really have any protein intake. And I won't get into any very specific protocols, because again, I really feel like that it's a very rare case by case scenario, but, how we lose muscle is not using muscle the best. There's really, I see a lot of programs written about muscle wasting and doing a lot of high reps and things like that. And, that's not really challenging and causing a progressive overload, or even in endurance reps can end up still maintaining muscle on certain levels. And it's really where the nutrition comes into play in that. A lot of times what happens is people get into marathons or endurance work and they won't keep up their nutrition, and there starts to be a very high increase of like muscle wasting and things like that, which is probably what she's reading about. You know, just doing like 20 reps of lunges instead of 12 isn't going to change anything, which I actually have seen people write, and it's like, that's just kind of ridiculous. Not training is what is going to lead to the most muscle wasting, because you're not utilizing your muscle, and not having a high protein intake is going to cause for a lack of repair. Are those things necessarily healthy and good things to do? That becomes a very like moral debate. And again, why I don't really like talking about it very much, because I feel that it's a very taboo subject and something that, again, isn't usually needed. So look at your fat levels first, look at what you really want first. And if it is something that does need to come into play, just know that the only thing that's really going to achieve that is kind of not eating and not moving. You look at someone who's sick in a hospital and they're stuck in the bed and they end up losing their muscle, which we get so many guys that write into the show all the time. They're like, oh, I've been in the hospital, I've lost all my muscle. What should I do? You know, am I going to get it back? Things like that. And, you know, the case is because they haven't been eating and they've been completely, you know, not moving. They've been stuck in a bed and they've caused their, you know, actual muscle wasting to take place. So that's the kind of long and short of it. But I would really look at Lauren if that was something that you needed to do in the first place.
What about kneading the muscle?
Did you say kneading or eating?
Kneading. Are trying to really get deep in those muscle fibers and knead it. I was trying to make a Tracy Anderson joke.
Oh yeah, that's right. You could do a lot of accessory work for those accessory muscles.
She has special exercises that get deep in the muscle, Lee.
She does. She does. I don't know how she gets so deep in the muscle. She even gets, you know.
Dude, she rolls deep,
but yet
just generally.
She lacks getting deep into that bone, which is why there's been those issues lately with Tracy Anderson clients and bone issues. Go figure.
Okay.
Oh, yes, I said it. Great articles, by the way, on that topic. Have to give some love to Mike Howard at Diet Blog and at Tony Junkor.
T. Junkor. Oh, by the way, he's going to be on the show next week.
Yay.
Yeah. I talked to him yesterday. He's he couldn't make it because of a Harry Potter convention.
Oh, I thought it was Comic-Con.
No, Comic-Con is cool.
I know, and it's definitely becoming cooler and cooler.
We need a Quantum Leap reunion at next Comic-Con. I'm just saying. Scott Bakula, make it happen. All right. Well, this is the Fitcast. Hey, Lee, you got that next question from Mike?
Or was I supposed to? Okay. So you need to say these things.
I love to ask myself this question, but then it's weird.
Hey, Kevin. My question is about how to safely squat deeper. When I get right around parallel, my form tends to weaken. I think my lower back is rounding a little because it's usually sore after a squat session. Are there any stretches or mobility drills that you would suggest to improve squat depth? I'm not looking for ass to grass depth, but just below parallel would be great. I feel like my form is limiting my ability to get stronger. Thanks, Mike.
It's a question that comes up quite a bit. We don't know too much about you. I'm going to guess that you probably said it not, but you know, maybe not. So I'm going to be kind of really general with the advice that I'm going to give you, you know, A, because obviously I've never seen you squat. I don't know what your squat looks like. And two, you know, we just have to kind of deal with generalities unless we can really see what you look like. So you mentioned first off that you want to make sure that you think that your form is limiting your ability to get much stronger, and that possibly going below parallel is going to help. I don't think that's the case. I mean, as long as you're getting to parallel, you're going to be good to go. And as long as those couple things we like to look at, you know, first off, ankle mobility, hip mobility, thoracic spine mobility. A lot of people get locked up at the hips and at the ankles quite a bit. So make sure when you're going in and you're doing your warm-up, you're getting in at least a dynamic warm-up that includes some kind of ankle mobility, which, you know, if you look at YouTube, Bill Hartman put a really cool video up like 3 years ago on ankle mobility. If you look for ankle mobility, Bill Hartman on YouTube, you can find it pretty easily. And that's something you can definitely check out. It's really simple. All you have to do is put your foot a couple inches away from the wall, let's say 6 or 8, and you just bring your knee right over the middle of your foot while keeping your heel on the ground. Doing that and also making sure you can just barely touch that wall. If you can touch the wall easily, back up a little bit. So your goal is really to just tap that wall with your knee. And again, let's just get a little bit more mobility in those ankles. For your hips, there's a ton of things you can do. There's lots of hip flexor mobilizations that you can do with just like walking lunges. You can do reverse lunges with a post-lateral reach. You can do box hip flexor stretches where you put one foot up on a box.
to be honest, I think you might get a lot of benefit by just doing simple, you know, glute bridges, single-legged hip lifts, things like that, which you will be surprised how much that will not necessarily hit your hips. But if you have any kind of like severe anterior pelvic tilt, that's definitely going to help you out quite a bit. And you might also be having really tight quads, which this will hit on as well. It's not going to hurt to get that extra glute activation in there. So one of the things that I would say to start out first, you know, it's really worth just saying, you know, bring a buddy to the gym, have a staff member there, say, all right, can you just watch me squat? What does it look like? And two, you know, you probably are going too deep. It really sounds like you're going too deep. And if that's the case, you're not necessarily going to squat deeper to get deeper, if that makes sense. So don't make yourself squat deeper than you really can. Use something like a box. Get like a 12-inch box or, you know, a 12-inch box and throw an Erics pad or, you know, something to give you a couple extra inches on the box to limit your squat depth. I'm not saying to, you know, sit down on the box, lean back, and then get back up, but just tap the box, use it as like, oh, this is the point where I stop, then shoot right back up. And again, going back to getting stronger, is your form going to limit you from getting stronger? Yeah, you know, possibly, but you really can't always make that the considering factor. Make sure your form doesn't look like crap, but also make sure you're just mixing things up a little bit. Don't always be doing the same set and rep schemes. Lift quickly. Do not take 5 seconds to do one rep in the squat. Don't go down really slow and come up really slow. Unless there's any kind of issues that you already have health-wise, or you know, if you have any previous injuries where you should be going slow and it's not necessarily the time to get stronger, you should be trying to get that weight up off the, you know, technically off the ground as fast as possible. So when you're at that parallel position at the bottom, you push through your heels and you push your hips forward as fast as you possibly can, as long as you were using a weight that, you know, is actually in that, you know, 5 to 6 rep range or even a little bit lower. Obviously, you're not going to just throw the bar on your back and shoot right up so you're flying off the ground. You know, just use common sense at that point. But those are a couple things you can check out. If you want, you can even shoot me a video of what your squat looks like, kevin@thefitcast.com. I'll take a quick look and, you know, maybe there's a couple things to look at. And sorry, very last thing I forgot, thoracic mobility. If you're finding yourself leaning forward a lot when you're squatting and you can't keep your chest up, there's two main reasons for that. One, poor core strength, but also another big thing is the thoracic mobility, making sure you're getting in your thoracic extensions in your warm-up, especially people that have desk jobs. You'll see their shoulders are always hunched forward. Or you see it in older people. They kind of like get closer and closer towards the ground as they lean forward, and they have that forward posture. And also really tall people, if you're taller than most of your friends and you're always looking down at them, that's another time. We usually only see it in like basketball players that are really like that 6'6", 6'8", 7 feet area, but it can happen in really anyone. So I know that's a lot. It's a lot of things to consider, but I wanted to give you a lot of little things to take a look at so you can hopefully find what is the limiting factor right now, and let's get those squat numbers up. You know, squatting's awesome. I like squatting, so.
Good deal.
Lee, I rambled a lot there. I'm sorry.
No, it was good. You had a lot of good stuff. There's a lot of great stuff in there, and I totally agree. You know, only thing I'd add is if you're looking for something to kind of help in the immediate sense, there's some great video series that Mark Ripito did for the CrossFit company when he was working for them for that brief time. But they're up on YouTube. They're kind of instructional, and there's some really good cues in there, and it's free. There's some really good free cues in there that kind of help with proper squat form and stuff like that. And you know, there's not a lot of talk about mobility, but just about the actual form and cues and the lifts. And I think if you combine the talk about mobility and especially, I mean, I think ankles when immediately almost like that, that's what I run into like all the time is, mm-hmm. is you know, it's ankles. But But definitely you mix that with looking and analyzing some good, you know, form through other people and trying to get your form looked at. And there's some cues that Rippetoe uses, particularly like placing the hand on the back and things like that. Certain things that you can maybe have a gym partner do that can help you maybe get a little bit better in the movement. So I think you did a great job, Kevin. And do you want me to shoot you that next question from Michelle?
No, I was actually going to interject and say one thing I also forgot to mention is shoes. If you are using, obviously, mm-hmm. like Nike Shox or something like that, you can always take your shoes off as long as your gym was cool with it. When we talked with Mike Robertson last week, if you remember, he talked about how, you know, shoes are kind of like putting on the mute button for your body, like that you don't really get that proprioception, you don't really get that, you know, feeling of the ground, so it makes it a little bit harder to get that feedback. So definitely, you know, that's one more thing to try. And actually, you know what, Lee, I was going to ask you a question, and I was going to quickly read kind of like a random email that we got from Sydney, Australia. So I'll go with that one first, then I'm going to ask you like a really interesting question. I really like that question from Jennifer. She might get pinked on by the word. All right, so dear Kevin, John, and Lee, I just want to let you know how much I enjoy listening to you every week and actually several times a week as I catch up on old podcasts. I'm listening so much because I'm learning so much because of you. So thank you for great work and for the great interviews too. Annie, a Frenchie living in Sydney, Australia. P.S. I'm 50 and in the best shape of my life and working to perfecting it even more. So that's an awesome email.
That's what it's for right there. That's awesome.
Yeah, and I like to kind of mix in, you know, I do read every email that I get. So, you know, I like to throw them all in the mailbag, and sometimes you don't get to all of them, and I reply to a lot of them. But, you know, it's always good to read these. And Krista has something that's kind of similar. She says, this is a good one. Hey, guys, I thought you might appreciate a laugh or story for once instead of a question. I just left the ER with 7 stitches in my head due to a, quote, band incident. I had my JC band attached to one of the rails on my staircase banister and using it for lat pulldowns. The banister rail broke off and came flying 12 feet through the air and hit the top of my head. It could have definitely been worse, but my living room looked like a crime scene. That definitely redefined balls to the walls for me. The EMT sure got a good laugh hearing woman hit with banister rail over the radio. I think I'll stick to push-ups or to pull-ups. And again, that's from Chris. And that, you know, it's good. You know, it wasn't the JC band's fault. It was the banister's fault.
You know, your lats are getting too strong. You know, Krista, it's time that when you're, you know, impelling yourself with the staircase material, it's time to upgrade.
Get that iron gym. Oh, yep. I'm such an idiot. I meant to post that they had them on sale for $20 on woot.com early in the week, and I forgot to tell people about that. But that's another reason why you should follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Hot deals. So, actually, just kind of randomly, I've been reading a lot of Brett Contreras' blog. This dude throws up like 5,000 word blog posts, which can be kind of intimidating, but kind of pick and choose, you know, what you're going to grab out of it. He had a video of some band resisted, like seated rows, which was, you know, I'm like, wow, that's a great way. If all I need is the handle for a seated row, like a NutriGrip seated row, and a strong enough band and someplace to wrap it around, like you could wrap it around a tree, like out in the park and do seated rows. And I'm like, damn, that's just one of those random things. Like, you guys should go check it out. If you train at home and you want to be able to really load up on those seated rows and get some, like variable resistance through the lift, it's pretty cool stuff. Pretty cool stuff. So, anyways, Lee, I got a question for you from Jennifer. She says, "Hi guys, I'm Jennifer." Hey, Jen. Is it true that dieting can trigger eating disorders? Not 500 calorie or 800 calories a day stuff, nothing crazy, but just the simple fact of being in a deficit? Or is it just something eating disorder places say because they don't want their clients dieting? Or is it really a big unknown? If you have a history of eating disorders but generally have fat to lose, say obese or at least plump, are these things that you can do? Are there things that you can do to make dieting safer? Would these precautions be the same for thinner people? Many thanks.
It's a great question. Trying to kind of figure out where to start, really. I you know, dieting or being in a deficit, it isn't necessarily a cause, it's a symptom. We don't diet for fun. You know, and there is, I should state that there are exceptions for people that have phobias or people that are dealing with food phobias and things like that. It's kind of a different thing. But when you know, and there are people that diet based upon fear and that kind of interplays with things. And you do have to take that in consideration, but they usually do border a little bit more through other issues as well. It's just a symptom of one subset of issues. When it comes to eating disorders, and what a lot of people don't realize is when you say the word eating disorder, you classically think of bulimics or anorexics, but eating disorders, they are very wide. There is a lot there, and there's something to be said, you know, about obesity itself. Is that in fact a, you know, an eating disorder issue? And it's a great topic for conversation. Do I think that dieting causes eating disorders? No, I don't think that dieting itself necessarily causes eating disorders, but you have to look at the wide variety of like factors into it. First, you have the issue of wanting to diet in the first place, and why do we want to diet? And typically, it's, you know, we find that we want to diet for some sort of control issue. We want to have control over our weight. We want to have control over our health. And that's why typically eating disorders are always classified as being, you know, control orders, obsessive compulsive disorders and things like that. They're always very linked in hand. So we want control. We want control over this factor of our life. And we feel that changing this factor or subset of our life will in turn make our lives better. And I'm actually one of those people that will go out on a very unpopular limb and agree that there are instances and aspects in which that getting the body that you want does make your life better. But I don't think it's necessarily because of the body as much as it is what it gives you. And there's an argument to be said that you could have that regardless of the body, but that's not really what the question is about. But in the end, essentially what we want is we want control over our body. We want to make our decision of eating less or eating more, building muscle, losing fat, whatever. And we want to control the outcome, and we want that outcome to be what it is that we want it to be. Where I find the problem comes in the most is when that outcome is not what you expected. And when the outcome does not start going the way that you wanted it to go. A lot of people don't understand how hard physically straining dieting is, how long the process actually takes, the severity of this process and what it does to your mental capacity. And this kind of does tie in a little bit to the articles that I posted up this week. But, you know, the side effects of dieting are very real. They're a very, very real thing, you know, and I was looking at all this research about how long that it would take for you to die basically essentially from not eating. And it's very interesting because it's not as if that, you know, you could put like a lot of people in a room and be like, okay, you group A, placebo, you get to do whatever, you get to eat. Group B, you're not going to eat, and let's just see how long it's going to take for you to die. Not exactly something that we can do, you know? So what we kind of have to do is we have to look at, you know, real life situations and what we see, and we look at political things and protests. We look at starvation protests and then starvation and all the way things from even the Holocaust, and there's all kinds of things that we look at. And on average, we can see that it can take as little as 26 days of not eating anything at all for someone to die. It can be upwards than that as well. It does, you know, it ranges, of course, depending on how much body fat you carry and how severe and if there's water intake with it as well and things like that. But if you think about that, you know, not eating 26 days, you'll die. Just, you know, under eating a little bit on a daily basis, it's obviously going to cause some physical repercussions and some mental ones as well. So you have to think about your mental state and where you're at when you're dieting. You're not you, really. There's deficiencies taking place. You have chemical deficiencies in the brain. You have nutrient deficiencies, energy deficiencies. Depression becomes easier. If you have anxiety issues, it becomes easier. If you're dealing with any sort of, you know, obsessive compulsive or control issues, even on a base level, it doesn't even have to be completely clinically diagnosed. It becomes worse. and take upon the other factors of your blood insulin sensitivities. They get worse. Whereas you could eat some carbohydrates and you may not feel the high and crash lows from it before when you're at maintenance, it starts to feel more intense. Everything kicks it up a notch. The more intense the diet that you are taking, the worse these things get. So when you're in the actual diet, you become more somewhat susceptible to paranoia, to feeling out of control, to frustration, to emotions. And it is going to cause you to look at everything a little bit differently. And it'll cause you to eventually want to not do it anymore because it is the body's defense mechanism. Your body doesn't want you to diet down. It doesn't want you to lose fat. It doesn't want any of this to take place. You are going against nature. You're going against something that the body doesn't want. And when you do that, this is what can lead to yo-yoing. It's what can lead to the problems of I'm on the diet, I'm off the diet, I'm on the diet, I'm off the diet. And you do this long enough and you don't get somewhere long enough and the frustration builds long enough and it becomes an issue that you revolve your life around and it becomes something that you're obsessed with getting done. You're obsessed with finishing. And the next thing you know, you're 3, 4, 5, 6, 10, 15, even more years into a process that technically could have been done, you know, in a couple of months to a year. Do I think that can cause an eating disorder? Do I think that that can cause emotional issues or personal trauma? Absolutely. You can look at it and say the physical has its issues and it causes a problem. Yeah, it does. But there's also the mental aspect of it and where you're at emotionally and personally. And so it's one of the reasons why the method I take of getting in and getting it done and focusing on the technical and making sure all those details are taken care of are so important, because the more that you focus on your supplements and the more that you focus on those nutritional details of timing and making sure that you're covering your bases as much as possible, the easier the actual event's going to be. You'll actually lose fat. Things will move at a good pace and there'll be less frustration. There'll be less of the emotional repercussions of not actually succeeding with what it is you're trying to achieve. And that, therefore, I think causes less frustration. It causes less problems and it'll make this not stretch out so much. I think there is that aspect of it. There's the other aspects that you have to look at that are completely unrelated to dieting, and it becomes an area of where people feel that they can control something, where their lives are completely out of control. And you have to look at that as well. But I think that it's more of the rarity, and I've spent a lot of time with a lot of girls with eating disorders, and I find that the control issue, just for the sake of control and having that as a focus, is less of a thing. I find more often than not that it's frustration that becomes more of the issue, and the constant cycle of not being able to deal with just how hard this is, because it's hard. It's really, really, really hard. And people don't want to own up to it. They just want to throw metabolic workouts to it, or they want to try and, you know, mess with how much carbohydrate intake they're getting, or just they try and play with all these variables that are completely unnecessary. When it's just, this is a really, really tough thing to do. And it's going to always be tough. And there's never going to be a shortcut to it unless it becomes medically involved or surgically induced. And even then, it's not a ball of wax. So I guess that's kind of my not short, but take on it. I mean, we can talk about this forever. But more than not, I don't think that dieting itself is more of the issue, but the lack of education and the lack of understanding what's going on, the lack of focus, the jumping in and out, our psychological motivations, it's not as simple as, yes, dieting causes eating disorders. It's so much more than that. So I know that was a bit of a ramble. I tried to keep it somewhat short, but that's kind of my take on it.
No, this is damn interesting. I mean, you think it's like, is that definitely one of the questions that trainers should be asking when they I mean, is it a little bit too personal of a question to ask a new client?
Oh, like, I go right there immediately.
Yeah.
I mean, when I send out my questionnaires and when I talk to my clients and when I do anything with, I mean, it is a truckload list that we get into. I mean, I talk about your mother. I talk about your
relationship. What? You talked about my mom?
I do. I get into everything because it is everything. Like, this is life. This is not just... You can't just be like, oh, okay, well, everyone, I want you to do, I want you to knock out these reps, and I want you to make sure that you're always eating some chicken and some broccoli.
Wow, that sounds like someone...
Yeah, you know, and it's not going to do... I mean, there is a subset of audience of people that it'll work for, sure. Any program is going to work for somebody in a subset of audience. It's always going to work for somebody. You see people, they do... You know, they do P90X or whatever. They do Slim into Six or I don't know, all those kind of things. And you think those people are lying and they didn't get, like, genuine results and they don't love those programs? Of course they do. It worked for them. For whatever reason, it clicked. It clicked with their lifestyle. It clicked with the time in their life. And they were a subset of that population that it worked with. But the majority of people won't succeed with any program if they don't understand the psychological ramifications behind it, the physical ramifications behind it. If you don't have the luxury of ignorance is bliss and it just working and you just being that either genetic, you know, novelty or just it just happened to work for whatever reason that it just went for you, then you are going to just be incredibly frustrated, not knowing what you're doing, spinning your wheels, guru hopping, like just trying to find something that is anything that is an answer. And it's just going to keep going like that unless you get yourself educated on what this actually takes and on how hard this is. It is that frustration, I think, that causes the most problem. 9 times out of 10, I see frustration alleviated, at least on some subset of a level, when they understand it is in their control. It is in their hands. They can do something about it. Then you will see the frustration switch over to, why am I not motivated? What is wrong with me? Why can't I just do this? And it forces people to take a look at themselves. It forces people to take a look at all these other issues that they've just been clouding with counting their macros and making sure that they don't get over 100 grams of carbohydrates. And I think that if you're going to become educated, if you're not just going to live in an ignorant bliss land, then you need to really do it all out, because the half education just ends up leading you frustrated. And it just, it never ends up good like that. So as a trainer, if you're going to come to me and you're saying to me, hi, I'm going to pay you money, educate me, help me. If you come to me and I really think that you're a mountain person, have no idea what the hell anything is going on, and you just need the marching orders and you'll march them, I usually don't go into a lot of stuff because it's not the kind of person that need it. But I will say that 99% of the time, people need help in so many other areas than just, here's your orders, go do them. They need to talk. They need to understand what's happening. They need the education. And so as a trainer, I will give them that education and I will teach them to fish until they don't need me anymore, or they just need me for accountability, motivation, you know, technical programming and stuff like that. You know, and I think that it's absolutely important to do as a trainer. I think you've got to do it on some sort of a base level. And I absolutely ask history of eating disorders. I ask history of patterns of weight loss and gain. I ask when they had success in weight loss and when they haven't. I mean, I go there because it's in the history of the details in which that you can really help a client.
Very cool stuff. We'll take... How are we doing on time here? Let me ask.
I don't know. You know.
Let me ask myself on that. Let's do maybe one or two more questions. You want to grab that question from Michelle?
Yes. Yes. Okay. For Kevin. Sorry. There we go. This is from Michelle. I know young kids should not lift weights because of them growing, but can a 7-year-old use TRX since it's his own body weight? Michelle.
Hells yes.
Yeah.
I mean, do you allow your kid to go to the playground and go on the monkey bars and climb on stuff and do all the hell yeah. I mean, should you give them a program? Should you take the program from like the DVD they include and have them do that 3 times a week? I don't know. Probably not. He's probably not going to enjoy that. But if he's just like chilling out and your TRX is out and maybe you're lifting it at home and he's... Or you're—I don't know if it's a boy or a girl, but if either one of them are, you know, hanging out and they just want to do what you're doing, yeah, let them knock out some rolls. Let them do some, you know, let them do some like jump squats and stuff on the TRX. Like TRX can be a lot of fun. Like, you know,
it's not going to stunt their growth, or it's not going to cause any life-term, lifelong damage. Hell's yes. That's my answer.
Yeah. Good answer.
Yeah, I like it when I get to say hell's. So let's see.
Do you want to do that other one from Megan X? Because I think it's a good one.
Sure. You want to knock that
one? Yeah, I'll ask it. Hey, Kevin, I'm a 15-year-old girl from England and was wondering if you could help me out by giving me some basic ideas of what kind of exercise I could do. At the moment, I'm training for a 5K charity run on the treadmill in my shed. I want to carry on with fitness, and I'm interested about going into sports science when I'm older. Could you give me some idea about what other exercise I could do to keep fit once I finish training for the 5K? I play field hockey as a goalkeeper twice a week in season, plus netball and rounders. Any help would be much appreciated. Thanks, Megan X. I just realized I blew a perfect opportunity to do a bad English accent.
Hello, it's Megan. Yeah, I know. It's
I said English. I meant British. It's one of those mornings. Continue.
What's the difference?
Well, just go.
All right. So, first off, very cool. 15-year-old who wants to get into sports science. Like, that's something we don't see very often.
That's very cool.
So, if that's something you want to do, you're going to be way ahead of the curve, because a lot of the people that get into this don't really get into it until, college. Or at least start deciding that that's what they want to do. So, a couple things. One thing, it sounds like, 5K charity run, working on a treadmill in your shed. Awesome. you're getting going. I mean, that's a first step. And if it's something you're going to get into, you seem to already be into athletics. You're playing field hockey. I don't know what netball is. That might be.
It's like basketball, kind of.
Is that the thing they play in Harry Potter?
I've never seen Harry Potter.
Neither have I. Oh, Lee, you're awesome. All right. So, I'm not saying Harry Potter's bad out there. Sorry. A couple quick things. One, we had a kind of a question that was somewhat similar to this maybe a month or two ago. And it's actually something that, I don't know, Lee, if you remember, John and I got in quite an argument about it.
Yes, I wasn't on that show, but I listened to the show and I remember hearing it. Yes.
Yeah. What I will do is I will find that episode and also post that in the show notes. Megan, I want to know what your last name is. Is it like Xavier? Back to the question. So a couple things that you can be doing. You're saying you're doing the running, you're getting in some general conditioning, that's some steady state cardio that you're doing. In terms of your athletics and overall conditioning, something that you're going to want to implement, and it's really tough to give you these, again, this is when that the whole thing is like, before you do anything that we, recommend, make sure you consult your physician, make sure it is, supervised properly by a professional, et cetera, because, looking into doing some more like shuttle runs, working on lateral movement is going to be big, especially for if you're playing field hockey and you're a goalkeeper, you got to be able to move side to side. You got to be able to move laterally. And for any of this stuff, I'm sorry, but we talk about all the time, females are more likely to get those ACL tears and run into knee issues. You got to make sure you're doing some kind of glute activation work. And that can be as simple as doing warm-ups, like doing X-band walks, which, again, you can search on YouTube. You can get tons of videos of X-band walks, doing hip lifts. You can do like lateral bounds where you just focus on decelerating, doing some light plyometrics, where you, again, focusing on decelerating and making sure those glutes are doing their job, which is to slow you down. When you jump from, say you're on your right leg and you jump onto your left leg and you bend that knee and you kind of sit back a little bit, a lot of the times for especially females, when it gets later into those competitions, it's not that you necessarily get lazy, but your body's really tired. And it's not necessarily doing the job it should be doing. So that's when we see those ACL tears. We see people really getting bad ankle sprains or breaking their ankles. That tends to come, and I think the first time I actually saw this stuff is it was either Mike Boyle or Mike Robertson like did a presentation. This is still when I was like really fresh. This is like 3 years ago, showing just statistics based on, you know, when do people tend to get injured the most? And it was, you know, that third, that fourth quarter, the second half, overtimes. You see people get injured quite a bit because they're just, at that point, your body's just beaten up. You've given your all. You're trying to win this game, and you're just running out of gas. So when you do any kind of the warm-up stuff or the plyo stuff or the activation work, like all that is doing is preparing you for when you are getting fatigued, you know, making sure you still have, you know, the awareness or your body is actually trained to perform correctly and making sure you don't run into any of those injuries. Your number one concern right now should be injury prevention. I mean, you can get stronger doing, you know, some general strength training depending on what you have available to you. But number one, you know, make sure you're staying healthy, making sure you're not getting injured, you're not missing games, and definitely listen to your body. If you need to take a couple days off from competition because it sounds like you're playing a lot, it sounds like you're playing field hockey, you're playing, you know,
running in a shed.
Yeah, you're doing tons of stuff. Like, you got to rest. You have to make sure you can actually recover. Otherwise, you're never going to be able to, you know, build back up and get the benefits of that activity. So, definitely, I promise I'm going to try to remember to post that. I'm going to write it down right now. I think I can remember it because it was titled like John and I Get in a Big Fight. So I just wrote it down right now. So I'm gonna put it up there and check that out. And you can check out the video where I just show some basic like lateral bounds, some lateral box jumps, things like that that will just kind of get you in the right mindset for where you should be going. You know, Lee can hit on this a little bit, but make sure you're also refueling yourself with, you know, proper nutrition and things of that nature. Lee, what's up?
Absolutely. I mean, you hit it on the head. I mean, you know, what I always see, especially, God, with little young girl athletes, is those tight calves, those quad dominant
knee braces.
No glute activation, like, whatsoever. I mean, it's almost just classic. You can almost go down a line, point, 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 point. But yeah, you know, from a nutritional standpoint, definitely, you know, I don't think you need to get anything as complicated as like carb loading and all that kind of stuff. Just make sure that you're fueling for the activity, that you're getting in good carbohydrates and energy beforehand. Even if you do something as simple as you know, popular. I mean, I'm not like a huge fan, but you know, and I don't know if they have it over there. Because I know sometimes the supplement things changes from country to country, but even like those popular like kind of Gatorade drinks. I mean, just get in. You don't have to start to get crazy complicated about it, but make sure that you're getting some like post and pre and post workout nutrition in, and just making sure to take care of your body, because at your age, you can do so much with your body, but at your age, it's usually where the things they start to come in and the injuries start to come into play if you keep pounding on it and you don't give proper recovery both to rest and nutrition. So, you know, definitely take heed of that. Focus on good carbohydrates and protein, both in pre and post, but mostly post workout nutrition for the protein recovery. And you should be good. You should be good to go. And good job and congratulations. I mean, it's awesome. She's like doing a charity run. She's into like sports science. I mean, you know, awesome. Megan X.
Yeah, that's a great, I mean, she has a great opportunity in terms of, you know, pro, like, you know, making programs 10 years from now, like the X program or something like that. I don't know.
I'd buy it.
X, you know, if you put an X in a program, it usually is
automatically cooler.
Yeah. X-Men. Duh. All right. So, I think that's a good place to end this week. I think we got a pretty epic show for you guys, about an hour and change. So what we're going to do, please keep an eye out on, again, if you want to read, win that TRX gift certificate, $175 TRX gift certificate, which is like, you know, you're going to be a kid in a candy store. Twitter, Facebook, at us, at Kevin Larrabee and at Lee Peel on Twitter. And you can find us on Facebook, same way. And also making sure you're putting reviews on iTunes. And I'm going to look at those iTunes reviews. It's going to be all the reviews from today, which is July 18th to July 31st. And on the Zune Marketplace from July 18th to July 31st. And we're going to pick someone out of that bunch. So, you know, even think about it. If you have a 1 in 100 chance, that's not too bad. Now, you still have a pretty good shot at winning, you know, arguably, you know, a pretty cool TRX is a pretty cool setup. So we'll be doing that also. And I want to quickly mention, don't forget, if you haven't signed up for our newsletter, I haven't been sending out a ton lately, but due to the huge influx of guests that we're going to be having in the next couple weeks, that's the best place to hear about them. And that's the best place to send in your questions for them. So like I said, we have a lot of guests that are going to be coming up, and you know, I want everyone to ask all their questions if they haven't once, because we get a lot of questions like 3 days after we interviewed someone. So I want to make sure you guys stay on top of that stuff. Also, listener feedback for this week is going to be coming up in just a minute. I'm going to be running all that stuff. And I don't know. Pink Dumbbell Wordly, what do you think? This is a tough one.
I want to give some props to Jennifer. But I definitely want to show some love to Megan X. I think it's encouraging.
Dudes get no love this week.
Yeah, dudes get no love. Sorry, dudes.
But, all right.
Jennifer and Megan X are sharing Pink Dumbbell this week.
Co-Pink Dumbbell Award winners.
Co-Pink Dumbbell, yeah.
Very cool. All right. You know where to get us. Check out Leap Hill's stuff at leaphill.com. Make sure you're looking at her blog posts, and also get up on those Ask Lee forums. If you haven't already, you guys should be checking out Body by Eats. You know, all that stuff. We talk about it a lot, but there's a reason for it. It's good. And also, don't forget to subscribe through iTunes. This is another way. You know, hook us up. Subscribe on iTunes. Tell your friends about it. You can order some T-shirts. You can do all that good stuff. And I don't think I forgot anything, so I'm going to stop right now. We're going to go into listener feedback and then off topic. So this is going to be like a 2-hour episode. Remember what I said, Lee?
You said you weren't going to do that anymore, Kevin.
No more 2-hour episodes. All right, guys, have a great week. We'll see you next time, and we'll probably have someone else with us, but hopefully not John. Take care. Oh, I hope he listens to this.
Did you?
And John, I was right about the plyos, by the way. All right, see you next week.
Oh, wow. Okay, we're still recording.
Okay, this is where the listener feedback should be coming in. But one quick thing, I want to wait until we get John on the show. And what I think would be a better idea is we'll play him back over the air, and then we will discuss your responses. So I'll give you one more week to send him in about our discussion last week or anything else. You can send in questions to 978-633-3488 or 775-45-FITCAST and leave a voicemail for us. Thanks again, everyone, for listening, and here comes the off-topic. Hope you enjoy it. All right, we're here in the off-topic discussion. It's myself. It's Lee Peel. Jonathan Fass is missing in action, so we don't know where John is, and we could never tell you anyway. So,
but if he was here, we would make sure to ask him how his trip was.
Yeah, John, how's your trip going? John? Okay, I'm sure you'll send me pictures in an email, so I'll make sure to look at that. Or on Facebook.
God. You're going to get it for that.
Whatever, he does listen to the show, so whatever.
Yeah, I know. I was about to be like, no, he is going to listen to it.
I don't care. He won't listen to the off-topic. So, yeah, Lee, we actually got like a Facebook message about the off-topic, about how we should make sure we continue doing it, so that's what we're going to do today.
I know. I appreciate it. It was a good Facebook, Deb.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Deb's one of the hardcore listeners.
And makes me feel very special and warm and fuzzy now.
She's clicking update right now on iTunes, making sure as soon as we get this podcast up that it is in her hands. And I was actually looking at one of the reviews on iTunes, and one of the latest ones saying that we haven't been as consistent, which is kind of true. But it was because I was traveling and I had weddings and stuff. So, and we do this in our free time.
Oh. And
so... I mean, I'm not
taking attitude there. No, I felt it. You're like, I'm not taking our free time. You should be thankful.
No, most people are. Most people are about it.
It
so.
Is. It's free. It's not like we're charging anything for it. It's free.
No, you got to listen to my musical choices. Which Lee, by the way, last week we had an opening song that I think you would really like.
What was it?
I can't remember. It was
such a fail.
No, it was a I'll tell you right now. It was titled God, I don't know where I put it. It's somewhere. Oh, it's the band's called Carissa's World and it's titled Die, which just sounds like a really like it'd be really bad. But it's quite a good song.
And well, I'm down for any band name that sounds like a Nickelodeon TV show.
Yeah, I was going to say Carissa Explains It All or whatever. I can never say that word. Damn.
It's like, it's okay. I didn't try and force you to say it anyway.
Did you ever have a boy that used to climb into your window with a ladder?
You know what's like, really funny about that? I had many people climb through my window. Many people climb through my window. Not necessarily.
Is there a story behind that?
Well, okay. There's somewhat of a story. I won't go into too much detail, but let's just say my front door was not used for various reasons. And I had a bedroom like that faced like the front of the house, and basically it was the entry and exit point for my entire I guess maybe from the age like 13 to 16, 17 years old before I moved out. It was like my entire like entry point and exit point. So everyone came through my window that came over to my house, and there was the occasional boy that climbed through my window.
I see.
This is getting really personal. So let's just, yeah.
All right. I got some cool stuff to talk about. So anyways, have you ever watched, Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip TV shows, 13 episodes,
I've never even heard of it.
Made by the guy who created The West Wing, Alan Sorkin.
Okay. Good guy. Good stuff. Never even heard of it, though. Never even heard of it.
Let me tell you this. Okay, basically...
Synopsis time.
Matthew Perry.
Oh.
The redhead guy.
Okay. Continue. I know what you're talking about now.
Okay, so basically, it's Matthew Perry. It's got... Amanda Peet, who is just smoking hot in that show. Oh, my God. Like
you
I just
don't find her hot.
Me neither. But in that show,
in
she's
that show
like
she is okay.
She's like, you know, powerful businesswoman. Like doesn't take ass from anyone. And no, it was really good. So, anyways, I watched this show. Like I loved this show when it first came out in 2006. Like I remember living in my dorm room in college and downloading this show off the internet and. Which is probably one of the reasons why it was canceled. And I loved it because it was like a behind-the-scenes look at television and... I guess my parents are home. Yeah, my dog's freaking out. Oh my God, Riley. So, anyways, show again is about late night. It's kind of like a Saturday Night Live show and kind of like the stuff that goes on behind the scenes with, you know, oh my God. I'm sorry, folks. That's my dog barking. Who is that?
I'm like, hi.
I don't know who they are. I don't know who the people are in my house. I think
well,
it's that
least,
dog walker.
At least your house is getting robbed by very nice greeting people.
All right. I'm going to pause this for 1 second. I got to see who that is. Hold on. Okay, now we're back. It's okay. No one's breaking into my house. So, anyways, I've been rewatching it on Netflix streaming, and I've been like blasting through the episodes. I'm like, man, I just hate watching shows. Like, I'm sure people who like Firefly or like other shows that got canceled after, you know, 13 episodes or one season, and they don't get to see it continue. Like, it just kills you when you get to that last episode. You know, there's never going to be anything else. I was just wondering, Lee, have you ever experienced anything like that?
Yes, and it's called My So-Called Life.
I've heard of that, but I don't... Is it like a girl show?
You've heard of it? You've heard of it? I mean, I guess it's kind of more of a... Not necessarily a girl thing. I don't know a lot of guys that watch it religiously. But, oh my God, Claire Danes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't really like
her
so much.
It's a teen drama show. I mean, in all technical, you know, areas. But I mean, it is very intelligently written, and it. Yeah, I mean, I don't think that I can't see you watching it. But regardless, it ended after one season. For standing there with Brian Krakow. and you're not knowing what's going to happen.
So they never wrapped up anything?
No. It is completely open. Like, there's all this drama between, like, her and her friend and her and her, like, semi-quasi-boyfriend, and then her and her, like, neighbor who has, like, the crush on her. Like, she finally finds out that he, like, has the crush on her, and that's how the show ends. Like, that's how it ends. And, like, they're just standing there, and she drives off with, like, the, you know, the hot guy and leaves, like, the, like, sweet dorky guy standing there, like, on the road.
And
that's it. Like, that's how the show ends, and that's all she wrote. And I have it on DVD, and I watch it, like, randomly, and it kills me, because you get there, and it's not even just that too, because her and her friend fall out, and like, you don't really, and it kind of has like a little bit of closure, but not enough, and like so anyway, like, that one's the absolute worst.
That's horrible.
That one's the worst for me. But and like the parents too, because like the dad's like about to like kind of like cheat on the mom, and you don't really know where that's gonna go either. So it's like really good, and then it just stops. And it's one of the greatest TV shows of like all time that just quit. And I didn't even find it until after it already aired. And so I caught it in like reruns, and I thought it was going to keep going. And then I found out, you know, later ended. So, yeah. So that one's my worst one. There's other ones, but that one's my worst one. But most people I know have a conniption over Firefly.
Oh, yeah.
Which is good. But,
I never watched all 13 episodes. I've seen the movie, and I think I fell asleep while watching like the first three episodes. I just couldn't get into it. Although I really like Nathan Fillion, I think he's awesome. I think he's fantastic to watch. Also Jewel State and Adam Baldwin's on Chuck now, and I love Chuck. And Jewel State ended up going on Stargate Atlantis, and I think she is gorgeous. And remember that was one of my crushes a couple weeks, a couple like years ago.
I do. I log all of them like notches on a bedpost.
Exactly. So it's man. I'm just gonna say one more thing. Terminator's The Sarah Connor Chronicles, a show that just never had a shot, and it was fantastic. It was absolutely, it blew away the stupid movie that came out. Terminator Salvation, and phenomenal cast. Honestly, Lee, have you seen it?
I didn't specifically watch it because I knew it was going to get canceled.
Did you?
I was like, I know this is going to get canceled. I'm not going to do it to myself. I'm not going to watch it.
Do you like Terminator though?
See, I love Terminator, but I've only seen the first two. I haven't seen
the third one or
the last one that they did. But I've only seen the first two. But I love Terminator 2. I mean, that's just one of my like fave movies of all time.
If I mail you the two, do you have a Blu-ray player? Do you have like a PS3 or something?
No.
Oh damn! All right, never mind.
I can get it though. What? I do have access to other things in the world. Tell me.
No, you should. I was gonna say I'll mail you the two seasons on Terminator Sarah Connor Chronicles, and we could talk about it.
I could potentially get it. Free.
You could do it that way too. Who's gonna care anymore?
That's a good point.
But they have been talking about the. I'm gonna warn you on the end of the second season.
I have a crush on Lena Headey. I think
me too.
She is so hot. Like there's something about her that is just so sexy. She is so awesome.
She's really good, Sarah Connor.
So yeah, like. I definitely want to see it. I just knew that I knew it was going to get canceled. And I knew Dollhouse was going to get canceled. Like I knew all those shows that came out at that like period of time. I was like, all this stuff's going to get canceled. I'm not going to do it to myself.
I ended up buying that, the season one of Dollhouse, for Christmas or something, on Blu-ray, and it ended up going on sale like right after Christmas for $20 for the whole first season on Blu-ray. And I bought it. I have not opened it yet. Is that a mistake?
I think it's a mistake. But then again, you know, you're building yourself up for it because it got canceled. But at least from my understanding, they knew it was going to get canceled and they somewhat gave closure to it. So at least it wasn't one of those shows that they didn't know was going to get canceled.
All right.
So that kind of helps. That kind of helps a little bit.
Okay. I think the... I think that's it. I mean, there's definitely some. I can totally remember like other shows that I'm like, how did people not like this show? Like VR Troopers. I'm just kidding.
Don't look up VR Troopers.
Looking up VR Troopers.
Don't do it. Don't do it. Because I totally watched that religiously because it was on opposite, like, right after Power Rangers. So it's a ripoff of Power Rangers.
Oh, it's one. Oh, I have bitches.
I know the song. We are VR. It's really that. Because kids who literally go into a computer and fight in virtual reality, like their enemies, they fight them in a computer. Like, what kind of?
It's the.
Are
best,
you watching the video?
I'm just. Yeah.
Yeah, watch it. There's even a dog.
There's a dog. Okay. This is very exciting.
Everyone, pause and look up VR Troopers. It's really, and also Captain N, which you can also get on Netflix. I recommend Captain N, who is a kid that gets sucked into the TV and then ends up having to, you know, be the savior of Nintendo World or something like that. So that was good.
Never saw that one, but I love that it's a bloodhound.
Yeah, I know, right? Oh, dog looks like he's 400 years old.
It's a virtual reality kind of dog.
The dog ends up going into the computer for one of the episodes. Blows your mind, doesn't it?
My mind is blown.
Are you going to see Deception?
God, everyone is so like about this movie. Am I ever going to see a movie while people are seeing the movie? No, it'll be like a year later I'll finally see the movie.
Well, we're all going. All the Chris Performance people, we're going to see it tonight. So
we're having a group go. That's awesome. I mean, everyone, it's obviously it's one of the, you know, most everyone likes it that's seen it. I haven't talked to a person that hasn't liked it yet.
Well, we'll spoil it next week.
Good.
All right.
Good. You know what I did do this week, though?
What's that?
I was through moral support, I went ice skating.
Ice skating? Where the hell did you do that? Indoors? Yeah. Obviously,
no,
but.
Yeah, obviously. No, Kevin, it's the South, and right now it's like 98 degrees with like 100% humidity.
They have those fake ice rinks that are made out of like plexiglass that you can use. I've seen those in a mall before.
Oh, you've never been to an ice rink indoors?
I have for like my cousin's hockey game like once.
So you've never been ice skating, I'm assuming.
Yeah, on a pond.
On a pond. Okay. All right. So do you know how to ice skate?
Sorta.
Okay. Oh, I don't care. Okay. I can't. Okay,
I can't stop.
I'm usually, I do things not like in a cocky way, but usually I can pick up things pretty fast. You know, I have really good like mimic capabilities, whatever. And no, not this. So at all. And like, so here's how it went, right? I get on the skates. I've been on the ice like 3 times, and each of those times, like, I've always fallen. I've always like been kind of like held onto the sides, and I've done the best I can to like, you know, be somewhat cool about it because I have some pride, but basically it's such a fail. But I was taking this class for moral support. And so I was like, oh, I'll go and I'll take the class with you or whatever. And it was like being nice. So I get into the class. And it's one of those things where I'm, you know, almost like 30 years old and there's like, you know, 8-year-old kids like just twirling and skating around me. And it's just, it's already like a really sad scene. So the class starts and it's literally the worst instructor ever because I can't think how this is good. I don't know ice skating instructors, but I can't think that this is a good thing. So it's like, okay, well, first we're going to start out like, you know, skating forward and doing like, you know, these little like kind of move your legs and do these things in order to skate forward. And I'm like, okay, like I'm down with that. There's 2 people beside me. I'm in the middle. Like every time he says go, like they take off and like I'm stuck in the back, like looking at their asses. And it's like already a sad thing. And I get to like the other end finally without like falling and dying. And he's like, okay, everyone's picking up that real good. And I'm like, okay, yeah, whatever. I'm not, but whatever. And he's like, let's try it backwards. And I'm like, let's try it backwards. Like, I can't even do it forwards. So all of a sudden, the dude starts telling us that you got to do it backwards. We got to do it with one leg. Like, it starts going into this crazy advanced stuff. And at a point, I'm in the middle of the ice while they're all, like, way behind me. And I'm trying to go backwards. And there's, like, this Middle Eastern couple with like really loud sweaters videotaping me and laughing at me because I'm like scooting myself in midair trying to get
back.
Wait,
hold on. Really loud sweaters?
They were really, you know, like the guy.
Like the colors were loud?
No. Like, oh my God, Amazing Discovery sweater.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, okay. What's up? I know what's up. That.
Yeah, you know what's up. Okay, like, they're sweaters, all right? And they're wearing, like, these, like, crazy, like, really loud, amazing Discovery sweaters. They're pointing and laughing at me, and they're videotaping me. I know I'm on YouTube somewhere, like, trying to skate backwards, and they're making fun of me. But it was, like, the worst experience of my life. I busted on my butt, like, I don't know how many times. I can't ice skate. I'm never doing that again. Except for the fact that I have two more classes that I have to complete.
You know what you have to see is that that rollerblading movie with Jack Black and Seth Green and
Airborne.
Thank you. Yes.
Airborne.
That movie's awesome. Oh my god! I wish I could be transported from California to like Montana or something like that.
Minnesota.
God, we have the best taste in movies and pop culture stuff. So did you end up buying the speed reading thing on Amazing Discoveries?
I wanted to buy it. I didn't buy it.
Because that guy could read faster than the Micro Machines guy could read.
Mm. Yes, because they had that comparison.
Oh, God. Lee, I literally was like 4 years old watching that when I was a kid. How crazy is that? That was so long ago. I mean, I used to watch infomercials on Sunday mornings because I loved that show so much.
It's good stuff.
Good host. All right. All right, we're going to take a... 23 and a half hour break, and we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening this week, guys.